A beautiful night. Welcome to another edition of Tudo Tuga, the Everything Portuguese Soccer Podcast. I'm Kevin Jesus. That's Christian Ferrer. That's Mitch Ferrer, as always. And we have a lot to get to today, so let's get right to it, starting with World Cup qualifying. Portugal looking pretty good with a big 5-0 win over Luxembourg. Boys, I mean, it was a game that it was over in the first few minutes, and it's all thanks to Christian's all-time favorite player, his idol, his everything, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, he's been on fire again. I think that move to England, let it fly around his ass, lack of better words. And yeah, he's been performing a lot for Portugal, for Man United. Yeah, he's been doing really good.
I mean, the good news here is that Portugal, with the 5-0 win, they're now guaranteed at least a playoff. So that's got to be a good sign.
Yeah, I think that was the big goal coming into this, was making sure we secured the win and secured our future kind of in getting into this tournament. But what I really loved about Portugal was not just Ronaldo, but I think, and I mean, keep in mind who we played against, but, yeah. I finally saw for the first time in a while, I feel the team really start to gel and everyone perform at a high level with Ronaldo on the field.
I agree. That was a big thing we touched up on last time was, with Ronaldo, without Ronaldo. And even another ones we touched up on, huge, was getting the most out of players like Bernardo Silva, Bruno Fernandes. And you know what? They had a hell of a game. And like Mitch just emphasized, yeah, they're flying on all cylinders. And I know it is Luxembourg, but they haven't made things easy for us the last few games.
They haven't. And, Bernardo Silva, he's in top form right now.
Oh, yes.
The guy is really, really in peak form right now. And I don't know about you, but, his ability to just – the confidence he had to just pick up the ball and just go, he drew the penalty. He was just all over, unbelievable, man. He was making plays. He was beating guys. He wasn't afraid to take guys on. I mean, it's that kind of confidence that we need from a guy like Bernardo Silva. Yeah. In the Seleção.
Yeah, even for when, sure.
Like everyone was kind of in just peak. And maybe they kind of finally found that bit of gel that we've been waiting for.
For sure. And honestly, I know another thing we also talked about is Bruno Fernandes and Ronaldo playing on the same team. You're emphasizing that maybe they wouldn't do well together, but you know what? They've been doing really good. A lot of assists.
Even Ronaldo let him take a penalty shot. It didn't go so well for Bruno, but yeah, their chemistry is definitely building. And yeah, so far, so good. Another thing I wanted to touch up on is the next World Cup is going to be mid-season. And I don't want to make too many excuses, but, having a tournament after a long season, especially playing in the Premier League, whatever players play in the Premier League, it's game after game after game. They're playing in Champions League. They're playing in FA Cups. They're playing in leagues. And it's all high-intense games. Coming into the last tournament, Bernardo Silva was down. Ronaldo didn't look the same. Bruno didn't look the same. Well, actually, maybe Ronaldo. Take that back. He top scorer. But I'm just saying, these top players, you're not really getting the most out of them. Yeah. And the next World Cup's mid-season. So I'm actually really excited. We're going to get these players top form. Yeah, top form. Halfway through the season, ready to rock.
So. I agree with that. I'm excited about that as well.
Well, and the nice thing about that is circle the date on your calendars, put it in your phones. April 1st, 2022 is when the official FIFA World Cup draw for Qatar will be held. So that's when we'll find out who Portugal will end up facing in their groups, because, of course, we are assuming that Portugal will get through and get the job done. My goodness, guys, if Canada qualifies for the World Cup and Portugal and Canada gets put into the same group, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I will say this, though. Portugal guaranteed at least a playoff. Let's take a look at the standings again here, because I think it's really interesting to note. So Portugal will take on the Republic of Ireland on Remembrance Day, November 11th. Again, Portugal should win that game. Even if they come away with a draw, that's okay, because the draw would put them level on points with Serbia. And then that makes the job a little bit more difficult in that final game against Serbia. Obviously, a win makes life super easy for Portugal. They just can't lose against Serbia. So how do you guys see this shaking out? Will Portugal finish first and automatically qualify for Qatar? Or are we going to fall into the same trap as we tend to do and go to the playoff route?
Honestly, it's like going on the form we're on now, I'd say, yes, we're going to finish first.
Yeah.
But, you know, historically, we've always made it difficult on ourselves. And somehow we end up in second. And I really do hope that's not the case this year.
Yeah.
We are favored to go. I think we will finish first. But this is Portugal, man. They always do it the hard way. So
I agree, Matt. I think we're in a form right now. And not only collectively, but individually, there's a lot of players that are really playing well right now. You got Nuno Mendes, who's looking like he's solidified his spot at left back with PSG.
Yes.
We've got Rafael Guerreiro, but if Nuno Mendes slots in, you know, no issues there. You've got guys like João Palhinha, who's having a great year, another great year at Sporting, and he's seeming to really slot in well with
the Slesson. I think that's his position now.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, you can Bruno argue Fernandes that.
Just playing really well with Ronaldo. Ronaldo is getting to his, you know, typical usual peak form with United. Bernard Silva, we talked about. André Silva is starting to kind of
had a great get game in the Champions League too.
Great game in Champions League this week. He's starting to score goals, starting to find his form. So I mean, you just got so many things that are just starting to click. Rafael Leão, I wanted to talk about him because he came on really, really well for the Slesson. And he is going to be a big time player for us going forward.
I think so.
His stock is rising fast. Yes. If you guys have not tuned into his performances for AC Milan, I suggest you do. He has been tearing it up, and I really, really loved the fact that he got some minutes with the Slesson, because I think come World Cup, if he continues on the form that he's in, he's going to be a big-time player for us at that tournament.
Rafael Leão is a good player, but I don't want to call him Leão anymore. Just call him Rafael. He came on well. He performed really well when he had his opportunity for Portugal.
Yeah.
He missed a wide open net. Like, it was a bad miss.
But he also hit the crossbar.
I give credit where credit's due. I know I have my differences with him, but I'll give credit where credit's due. And I think the reason why I'm so upset about it, because I know his talent.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned last podcast, on his debut, he came in, scored ready against Portugal. His stock was rising for us. And he's the quality is definitely there. He can definitely slot into our
like a sleeping giant, man. He looks really slow, but his legs are so long that he's got these strides, man. And it's just unbelievable. He actually looks like a slow player and like a little bit lazy, but he gets the ball and it looks like he's not running very fast, but he's outrunning these guys like crazy, right?
For sure.
He's got this weird skill, and then he's so silky smooth. Like, his feet are just unbelievably. I love watching him play
for sure. And we can't leave this podcast without talking about
how great Fernando Sanches.
Our U21 team.
Yes.
They won, I believe it was 11-0.
11-0, yeah. It was 9-0 by the end of halftime.
By half. Yeah. So, our future is really good right now.
Luxembourg's U21 team.
Liechtenstein.
A win is a win, though, right? On the 4th of November, Ferran Sanz will be naming his squad. So it will be interesting to see. I mean, these are the two biggest games of the year for Portugal as they try and get into Qatar. I'm gonna go a little off the table here, and I'm actually going to mention my Saji star of the week right now, because I think this opens up the conversation. And I'm going with Jota from Celtic. He's been really in form. Celtic's loving this guy. They're trying to find a way to actually buy him and keep him past his loan spell here. He's in form. He's looking really good. Would you ever consider him for the national team? Yes or no, and why?
I don't know. Like,
look how happy he looks.
The Scottish league. Again, it's not his fault what league he's playing in. But the Scottish League doesn't have that poise. I think if he went to a bigger team like the Prem or a bigger league, I would say for sure. But given the national team we have now, we're just oozing with talent.
And you know what? I'm a huge fan of Jota. Yeah, I've followed him since he was, you know, coming up in the youth ranks of Benfica. I was always a huge fan. I actually really, really was looking forward to him getting some playing time, especially in the Brunelage, because, you know, Brunelage typically, you know, would give some of those youngsters. He was kind of, you know, a lot of Benfica fans looked at Jota to kind of fill João Félix's boots when he left. He was kind of that next player, similar age to João Félix, to come up and kind of fill that role. He never really filled the potential. Some can argue he didn't get enough playing time in order to kind of fill that potential. I've always been a big fan of him, especially in the U21s. He's always been a big player for Portugal at the youth levels. You know, super talented player. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think he's shining right now because of the league that he's in and the caliber of the league that he's in. Yeah. He's, you know, the Scottish league is, you know, unless Celtic is playing Rangers, I don't really know how much, you know, what level of competition is there.
I'm going to jump in though. I will say this though. Celtic has been really struggling right now in the Scottish Premier League. It hasn't been a cakewalk whatsoever. And Jota has been a big reason why they've actually been seeing some success and they've been hanging around in there. They've certainly been struggling. But yes, I agree. To your point, yes, the Scottish League is definitely a much easier league to say the
least. I'll just use the example. Do you remember Daniel Candeias?
No,
he was with Maritimo. He ended up going to Benfica. Benfica loaned him out to Rangers. He didn't really do much at Benfica. He was a pretty good player at Maritimo. Didn't really ever crack the starting 11 at Benfica. He ended up going to Rangers. The guy was a god there. He scored tons of goals. Anybody ever hear about him?
No.
It's just he went there and he was shining because he was kind of in the Scottish league.
Yeah, for sure.
No,
big fish, small pond.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Just before we move on, I need to make an observation here. Christian wearing a goalie jersey here, and you were saying it's for Rui Patricio, right? So let's celebrate his 100th cap with the Portuguese national team. I mean, this kid has been unreal for us, and I mean, we could have an entire podcast just talking about this, but I am going to throw you guys on the spot here. Where does he rank in terms of all-time goaltenders in Portugal? I know some people have a love affair with Vitor Bahia. I have never been a big fan of Vitor Bahia. I certainly respect what he's done, but I mean, Rui Patricio here has been pretty stellar.
Yeah, for sure. He's up there for sure. The top three off the top of my head is Vitor Damas, Victor Bahia, and Rui Patricio all time. So yeah, he's definitely in the conversation.
To me, he's hands down the greatest goalkeeper we've ever had in Portugal as a seleção. I'm not old enough to remember Vitor Damas. I've seen lots of video. You know, I've heard my dad talk a lot about him. I've seen his highlight reels. But I mean, how can you discredit or you know, put anyone above somebody who won us the Euro?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he did it. And it's not like he was a guy that was not instrumental. He was absolutely instrumental, especially in the final. You know, the first save that comes to mind is that header from Griezmann that he saved in the France final.
There's a statue of him in Leiria.
I mean, he's honestly, in my opinion, one of the most underrated goalkeepers in the world. It's unbelievable that he's only now at this age made a move to a somewhat bigger club. Roma, to me, is not even where this guy should be. This guy should be playing in either one of the top Premier League teams or one of the, you know, Real Madrid, Barca, I mean, you name it, this guy is there. He's absolutely elite. You know, when he was younger, he used to struggle a little bit with the crosses in, you know, with Sporting and stuff. You know, that was kind of always his a little bit of his weakness, but he's sharpened up on at every level. Yeah. His experience, he's a complete goalkeeper, man.
Yeah. Okay, but what about Ricardo? Ricardo in 2004, I mean, man, Would we look at him at all? It had Portugal won in 2004.
You guys, the reason we lost in 2004, that corner kick, that was his ball all day, man.
I know. No, he's
also the reason why. He's also the reason why we got that far. Looking at his hands,
he's up there. I would still rate Patrice a little bit higher than him, but
a little bit. He's like
Yeah, but you know, I have
miles iron.
I have this memory in my head is when his Zebu went up to him and told him to take his gloves off.
Buddy,
he saved it with bare hands, and then he scored the winning penalty shot.
If you want to talk about best penalty stoppers,
yeah. Ricardo all day. Although Rui Patricio is pretty good too.
Rui Patricio is great, but I mean, Ricardo, his
I will agree with you guys though. Rui Patricio, 100% to me, I think he's just head and shoulders. Like I said, Vitor Bahia is just the only one that I've just never really been a big fan of. But let's move on to Europe and Champions League. We're going to start with Sporting because, you know, hey, two of us are big fans. And they had finally some success in Europe with a big 4-1 win over Besiktas. Obviously, Sporting needed to win this game in order to keep their hopes alive of not only progressing to the second round, but even the Europa League as a fallback. Guys, what is Sporting's chances here kind of moving forward? And just how much of a confidence boost was this for them?
Yeah, this game was massive, given that we lost our first two games. Our first game, I touched up on this last time, we were talking about depth. We don't really have crazy amount of depth. We were missing a lot of key players, and one of them, I have to mention, it's Seba Kovač. He was lights out. He was like the man of the match that game. And he almost had a first half hat trick as a center back. He scored two goals off the corner kick.
Identical, and then, man. They were like identical.
And then the third one was off a corner kick too. And it was actually, if you look at it, I didn't notice this right away, but that ball looked like it was going in. And the guy waved his hand up. It was accidental. You can't argue that. But the ball's going to go directed towards the net. It changes the direction and the goalie saves it. So he could have had three in the first half and it ended up being a penalty shot. So. Yeah, that game was huge. We had Pot come back. We had Inácio come back. We had Pot come back. So.
Can we just talk about these uniforms? I mean, a few podcasts ago, I talked about how great Benfica's uniforms look. But, man, these Sporting ones are sharp. They look great.
Yes, I definitely do like that.
No shocker, Christian, of course, likes it.
I already have two. I'm going to have to get three. I already have the original, the yellow jersey, and now this one. So, but, yeah, to go back on the Sporting talk. We could have scored six or seven goals. Paulinho hit the post and the crossbar. One of them was just wide open. This guy, I don't know, this for burning chances. He's number one in the world. I think he just seems like he needs three or four chances to score. But his last goal, our fourth goal, was an absolute beautiful goal. So,
realistically, though. We're looking here, Sporting again in third place, 3 points behind Borussia Dortmund, six back of Ajax. I mean, I'm thinking Sporting's going to look pretty good going to Europa League. I mean, who knows? If they can beat Dortmund, then maybe we can see something interesting happen here. But I'm guessing Sporting's going to finish third.
It can happen. Like, I mean, obviously, if you're a betting man, like you are. Kevin, you'd bet they were going to Europa League, but
you know, Dortmund didn't look too good against Ajax, and they had Holland, they had a full squad. Dude, they got
can
spanked.
We just talk about Ajax for a second?
Yes, they
like these guys are no joke, man. They are the real deal. They're only behind Bayern in terms of goal differential 11-1, and they're not in a super easy group. Like, I don't think anybody would have picked Ajax to top this group over Dortmund. Like, They're looking very dangerous, man.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest. Sporting, they have a chance against Dortmund. They got to get some points against Dortmund. But if they play the way they played it against Besiktas and they're firing all cylinders and Paulinho brings his shooting boots, the ones that made him worth 20 million euros, those ones. Uh-huh. Yeah. If he brings those ones, maybe Sporting has a chance. But, you know, it's going to be tough. But they played really well. Especially
they did really well. A big game for Sporting is going to be the next one because we're going back-to-back against Besiktas.
That's right.
We're going to go at home against Besiktas now. And if we can win that game, that's 6 points. We're going into Dortmund at home. I know it's a long shot. It's like Ruben Amorim says, joga-joga. But if those things come into play, I don't see why.
You guys are rooting for Ajax. If Ajax can beat Dortmund again,
and
you guys can beat Besiktas, then you level on points. Now it's a whole different
story. We also have a little bit of an advantage because we play Ajax
last. So they could be already qualified. Yeah. They could play, you know, a different lineup. 100%. And, you know, we could get a result from that game. So, like, Dortmund is favored to go second, but it's not by as much as it was, you know, going into
game. Especially game from the first game. Again, we talked about it. It was only 1-0.
Yeah.
Sporting didn't play that bad.
And they didn't, you know what, Dortmund, but they didn't really impress us that game. Like, they had that one chance that they scored.
Like you said, you guys were missing a lot of elements.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of guys. So, I mean, anything can happen. So.
And how about Porto with a big 1-0 win over Milan? They needed that to keep their hopes alive. And boy, did they deliver.
Listen, I'm going to be the first to say I'm probably the biggest anti-Portista here. But I have to give credit where credit is due. Porto played unbelievably well. They played a very, very, very good game against, I think, a very good Milan team.
Yeah.
I honestly, from start to finish, they rewrote a lot of the wrongs from their game against Liverpool, and they looked like a Champions League team.
Yeah, for sure. Just before I go into my analysis of the game, what do you think Conceição said to him after the 5-1 loss?
I don't know what the fuck.
I think they were spitting. There's a lot of spitting involved. You ever see that meme where that coach walks and slaps all the players in the head? I think that's what probably happened with Conceição.
I think Macaque probably went in there and fucking smacked him around a little bit too.
Oh my god! So yeah, they for sure got reamed after that game. But yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I watched. Unfortunately, I have a day job. You know
what?
This podcast doesn't pay the bills yet. So, what's it called? So I didn't watch the game live, but I went back and I watched the extended highlights. And I'm telling you right now, there was not one highlight of Milan that game. Porto,
they had one shot on that.
Yeah,
it was a header.
Yeah, and honestly, it was a pure dominance by Porto. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, get off the topic of Porto without talking about Luis Diaz. He is turning into a superstar. Oh. Man. Like he is, I could see this guy. And any team in the world right now. He
is so good.
Lights out. He is definitely a game breaker.
And João Mário had another great game at right back, man.
You know what? Porto has a lot of great talented players coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, Christian saying that? My goodness.
Wow. Hey, it's not Benfica. It's
a little bit easier to swallow, I guess. Yeah. But you know what? Though Porto was, we always knew they were going to be in tough in Group B here. But they've certainly done well through the first half of games, tied for second place. I mean, anything can happen here. I mean, especially with Liverpool. Liverpool tends to be so unpredictable too. So there could be an opportunity for Porto to pull out a bit of a surprise. They're going to have to pull it out again against Milan. And then obviously see what they can do against Atletico Madrid. So too close to call to see where Porto is going to end up. And then that brings us, as we scroll down here in the standings, to Group E, Benfica. Again, we knew that they were going to be in tough against Bayern Munich, but boy, were they in tough against Bayern Munich. The first, 20 minutes, it looked pretty promising for Benfica. They were doing what they needed to do, but, I mean, when you're up against these European giants, I mean, what do you do?
Well, it wasn't just the first 20 minutes. I mean, we got to the 70th minute without conceding a goal, but and not only sitting
well,
back,
weren't a couple of those goals called back though by VAR?
A couple of goals were called back, but Manuel Neuer made two robotic saves.
Yeah.
And when I say robotic, they were Superman saves.
I feel this tension. Mitch is about to go off, so I'm gonna take a step back and
going blow for blow with arguably one of the best teams in Europe. Yeah. Like and even the commentators were saying they could not believe how competitive Benfica was being. We were not sitting back, so. To that credit, I'm gonna build them up and then I'm gonna tear them down. Jorge Jesus came in, Orjun Zoric with them. We went pound for pound, blow for blow with these guys. They're one of the best teams in Europe. But to Kevin's point, two goals that were ruled off by VAR, two posts, one crossbar, one post. You get to the 70th minute. If I'm Jorge Jesus and I look over across from me, and I see Serge Gnabry warming up to come on. You know they're going to throw the kitchen sink at you. Look at your bench. Grab Mete. Grab Muratu. And park the fucking bus. Yaremchuk could have put the game away right before Bayern Munich scored their first goal and the floodgates open. He didn't. We didn't finish. You know what? Let's try and grab a point from this game. A point against Bayern is worth a lot. Instead, what does he do? He puts on Everton, he puts on Pizzi, and he puts on Gonçalo Ramos. All three attacking players. All of a sudden, one goal. That's all that happened, because then all of a sudden we had to go on the attack. And as soon as we lost our shape and started attacking, the floodgates open. And yeah. Bayern just destroyed us.
Yeah, honestly, again, I have a day job, unfortunately. I didn't watch this game either. I watched the highlights. I caught little bits and pieces of it. I was mostly watching actually the Man United game. But Fernando Santos, step aside, because Jorge Jesus is about to get it, right? But, for sure, like, coming into the 70th minute, Benfica looked a little bit, you know, unfit at that time. He looked a little bit more tired than Bayern. And as if you pull up on the memes about Bayern Munich, they're all like, they all like go to Bayern all skinny. And then after 4 or 5 months, they're all jacked and their fitness is through the roof. So I just think towards the end, Benfica looked a little bit more tired. And once that first goal came in, it was floodgates open.
So. Different class, man.
Yeah,
different class. Sure. And
Bayern is Bayern, though. Like,
but honestly, I mean, I wouldn't take anything away from Benfica, because I think it was honestly a coaching fail. We played as good as we could have played against arguably one of the best teams in Europe, and with class oozing out of every crevice. Like, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think Jorge Jesus is going to be upset with the way we played, because I think we played extremely well. Like I said, if it wasn't for Manuel Neuer's robotic arms, it would have been 2-0. Like, it was unbelievable, the saves that he made on Darwin and Diogo Gonçalves. But at some point, like, I think Jorge Jesus maybe got to his head a little bit, that it was right off of Yaremchuk just about scoring. Like, Yaremchuk had an unbelievable play. He muscled off Hernandez. He went in one-on-one with the keeper. He puts it wide. If he finishes that, and I think maybe at that point Jorge Jesus thought, you know, blood is in the water. Maybe we can actually get a win here.
Yeah.
But you know what though?
Like, again, you watched it more in detail, but it's one of those things. It's a double-edged sword, because if, you know, Jorge Jesus came in and put in some defensive players around that same time frame, and then Bayern scored four.
Could have gone the other way.
Yeah, you would have been like, "Well, man, you know, we were off. Like, we had offense. We're doing so good until that point. Why are these guys? You know, why is this coach putting in defensive players? You know, when we should be going. We're at home to win." So yeah, it's one of those situations where, you know, it's a lose-lose. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I personally, like, if I'm going to act like a neutral right now, I personally like when a coach, you know, place to try to win instead of trying to get a result, especially when they're at home.
Try to win, I agree. Yeah. But you have to know your opponent.
Yeah,
like, no, I said, exactly. When you, play when to you your look, level, when you look across and you see Serge Gnabry,
yeah,
Serge Gnabry is a, like, a,
yeah, I'm not, killer, I'm not saying you're wrong.
When you
I'm
look just, across and you see, yeah, there, because what that indicates to me, if I'm a coach, because he took off Pavard for Gnabry. So when I see him taking off Pavard for Gnabry, I'm thinking, hey, they're throwing the kitchen sink at us at this point. They're throwing everything we got. I have to defend. Like, we have to defend, like, our lives depended on it.
Yeah, for sure.
That to me was the coaching gaffe.
I'm not saying that was the right decision. I'm just saying I respect that, you know, trying to go in, attack.
Yeah.
To, you know, especially when you're at home, to try to get a result. I'm not saying it was the right thing, but like I said, I like it when teams do that.
And speaking of, you know, losing and all that stuff, we'll keep talking about Benfica. they're the only team that has lost in the Portuguese league so far this year, yet they're still in first place. 7 wins, 1 loss. I mean, this week, and we'll get to our panel picks in just a couple of moments here, but what's this league kind of look? I mean, they've had a few weeks off now. They've had the Taça de Portugal. They've had the international break, you know, and they've had now European action. So they finally get back into it this weekend. What are we kind of thinking here? As you know, we've gone through a good chunk of the season so far. Again, Benfica in first, Sporting in Port. Again, no surprise in the top three.
It's going to be nice to see the league get back into it. A couple of players coming back from injuries, Bidimusavs being one of them. Hafa's back for Benfica, so that'll be nice to see. It'll be nice to see the league get kicked off again. It's like we've talked about many times. It's been a very competitive league, and there's going to be some good games coming up. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I keep bringing this up, but a while back ago, that Sporting Porto game, we were saying that was the end all be all. And I was mentioning that, you know, teams go through moments. Sporting just went through a bad moment. They, you know, a lot of injuries and stuff, and now they're getting it back. Now it seems like Benfica, they were at they just peaked with the Barca win. And then now, I'm not saying they're dipping, but they, you know, they had that loss with Portimonense. Like Bayern is expected, but I'm just saying, like, teams have forms, right? So it's going to be interesting, like, with these seasons. It's, you know, who can, it's a marathon, right? It's sometimes it's not even who's the best team. It's who, you know, who can last the longest, who can get those last 93rd minute goals at the end, you know? Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely going to be very, very interesting. Very interesting.
I also want to point out that early on, Mitch said that Santa Clara was going to have a pretty decent season, and that, in the words of Mori Povic, the lie detector came back. That's a lie. So that's how that's going to work. Since we're talking on the Portuguese league, then why don't we go ahead and make some of our panel picks? Let's go.
Hands up, then we going to drop.
All right, guys, lots to get to with this, and we will first, of course, start off with how we did last time around, and you guys were the winners of the week, going 4-for-1. I went 3-for-2. Where did we differ? Well, you guys had more confidence in Canada than I did in that game at Azteca in Mexico. You correctly predicted the draw. I was going for Mexico. And then we were all wrong against Jamaica, which just blows my mind that Canada drew against Jamaica. So did you watch that Mexico game at all, guys? Like, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I did. I did watch it. It was a very, very, very good game. Canada, honestly, it's very good to – it's very nice to watch Canada. Actually, I don't want to go without saying this. When Sporting played Besiktas, Laren scored against us, and he's a Canadian international. Mm-hmm. He looked really good with Besiktas. He was – arguably their best player that day.
So let's go to this week. And we were all pretty much consistent across the board as we take a look here. By the way, myself and Christian in first place, 20 wins, 9 losses, and Mitch in last place with 19 and 10. So still pretty tight, but we could see some movement here as Braga takes on Ludogorets in the Europa League coming up this week. Mitch and I are the smart ones. We clearly know that Braga is going to win. Christian, why are you going opposite?
Actually, I think there was a little bit of an error. I chose
too late. It's already in there.
No. I think when I sent you my picks, you chose it wrong. I actually picked Ludo to win that game.
You did pick Ludo to win.
Yes, yes.
That's what I'm saying. Why'd you go the opposite? We went with Braga.
I was looking at the bottom there.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Honestly, I thought you guys both would pick Braga, so I wanted to go first. You know, Kevin was a little bit cocky.
Reward, man.
Kevin was a little cocky last week. His tone has changed a lot this week. I hear he's very monotone right now.
He's hiding
in the corner a little bit. Yeah. We're tied for first. So honestly, I looked at you know, their last few fixtures, and you know, they look like a pretty decent team, and they're at home. So, you know, just to be a little bit different, I chose them.
Okay, and we're all thinking Sporting and Benfica will easily get wins this week in the Liga. So then we go back to Braga versus Gil Vicente in the Liga. And again, Mitch and I are the smart ones. We're going with a draw. Mitch, why did you go with that?
Hey, man, Batalha do Minho, you know? I think the guy, Gil Vicente, looked good. My buddy Fran is in the pool, in my pool. He's been getting some nice points for me. I think he's going to be on form again. I think Gil Vicente actually looked pretty decent this year, so I think you know, against Braga, they might, at home, they might be able to squeeze out a point. So
Okay. Yeah. So that brings us to the Sagistar of the week presented by Sagipair North America. Visit sagipairnorthamerica.com for more information. All right. We are going. I already talked about Jota. I'll say it again to get the record on there. I think Jota is the Sagistar of the week. He's just been on form for Celtic. No surprise there. Christian, surprise, surprise, you're going with a Sporting player for yours.
Do you blame me though? You know,
no, you can't.
El Capitan. He was lights out. And not only did he get two goals and potentially could have got three in the first half. Defending, he. I don't know if you've seen how many times he put Beziktas offside. It must have been like 20 times. Like he's just, you know, El Capitan for a reason. And he had a huge game. We missed him big time in the first game against Ajax. And yeah, I think for me, that's no doubt this guy should get Sagistar.
Okay, so then that leaves this guy for Mitch's Sagistar of the week.
Rui Costa, man. Yeah. You know, one of my favorite players growing up, and officially very, very proud to see him as the president of Benfica. And not only this, I think you know the reason I wanted to make him in the Sagistar was just to talk about the way that he's transitioned into this role. He wanted to call elections. He could have very easily not have called elections. He wanted this to be fair. He wanted to, I think he's really looking forward to ushering in a new era at Benfica and really move away from the cloud, the dark cloud that was Vieirismo in the last little bit. One of the things that he did, he actually held a debate on live TV on Benfica TV, which hadn't been done in years, man. Lucio Vieira would never allow it for years. He never debated anyone on TV. So the fact that he went up against Benitez and had a debate and talked about his ideas, he's an icon, not only in Benfica, but in Portuguese soccer. I think he can also do a good job of kind of mending a little bit of the relations between Porto and Sporting and some of the other presidents around the league. I think it's important that Benfica has a good relationship with all teams. I mean, you're never going to get rid of the rivalry, but I think it's important at that top level that the presidents get along, and because it's important that we have a very cohesive league, and I think he can bring that. Pinto Costa already came out and said I have a very good relationship with Rui Costa, I respect him a lot. So I think just the first little bit has been good. It'll remain to be seen whether he really has that positive impact, but just the first little bit, I think it's great to see.
I have a couple things to ask you, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So one, was there any doubt that he was going to be president? I don't even know. No. I don't even know who the other guy guaranteed. Was.
No, they needed a
candidate. I think it was just like, we threw a,
Noronha Lopes would have been the only guy, him or there's another guy anyway, Rui Gomes da Silva, that could have ran. They were the only two guys that ever really kind of.
I heard a lot of people didn't want to run. It was surprising.
Yeah.
Well, why would they?
Yeah, they already know it was for Rui. Yeah. Then they don't want to, piss him off and get kicked out, right?
What's your other question there, Christian?
So the other thing, and again, I'm actually asking you this honestly. I don't know. There's just been a lot of things I've been hearing about that, pretty much Vieira is still going to be running Benfica. Obviously, his title's gone, but all of his guys are there. All the same people, the coach he brought on. Everybody's the exact same. So what do you think about that?
I don't know, man. Honestly, it's hard to say. Obviously, there's a lot of people that are still there. The CEO of Benfica is stepping down. So obviously, from a business perspective, that was somebody who was very important to making certain decisions. Could he still have influence, or could some of the people that were there still have some influence potentially? But not necessarily everything that Vieira did from a business perspective with Benfica was all bad.
He was actually the president.
He did a lot of very amazing things for Benfica. Yeah. He pulled us out of the garbage that the last president had left us in. So I mean, there's a lot of amazing things that he did. And from a business aspect, there's a lot of good things he did. I know a lot of Benfiquistas are not looking forward to, for example, Rui Costa has agreed to take a meeting with John Textor. He's a U.S. investor that's looking to come in and potentially purchase some of the privately held shares in Benfica. He was wanting to before the whole, you know, sham with Vieta happened. And there's a lot of people, you know, who were really against John Textor coming in. I don't think it's a bad thing for somebody who's got some deep pockets to come in and invest in the club, because I think there's a lot of things that Benfica could benefit from. And if you actually listen to John Textor's ideas for how he wants to grow the club base, especially outside of Portugal, in North America, for example, I think it's a great thing for not only Benfica, but for Portuguese soccer as a whole.
You've
got to adapt or die. All right. 100%. And yeah, that's where the growth there comes in with Rui Costa.
So also, last thing, what do you think about what Vieta said? That even when you go use the washroom, you got to think about Vieta.
He's not lying, man. I mean, Vieta is you know, fortunately or unfortunately, depending which way you think of him, you know, he's been a massive part of this club for the last 20 years. You can't take that away from him. Like I said, he pulled us out of the absolute garbage that the last president had put us in. You know, we were in one of the worst funks this club has ever seen before Vieta came along, and arguably, you know, one of the best, you know, runs that the team has had, you know, in the last probably 50 years, right before the Eusebi days. So I mean, how can you fault the guy?
He is a part of history. He will always be a part of history. 100%, absolutely. But the key word there being history. It is a new era now, yeah, and it is going to take time for Rui Costa to put his stamp on this club. And to your point, Christian, yes, there may be a lot of Luis Felipe Vieira's fingerprints all over the place, but they are slowly going to be erased here as Rui Costa puts his people in place, puts the vision that he wants in place. It'll take years, but that's a good thing. And I really think the beauty of Rui Costa is this. You're right, Mitch. He is one of the most well-respected Portuguese players in the country, and quite frankly, he's almost in some ways, I'm not saying he's you know, better than Eusebio, but what I'm saying is he's almost replaced Eusebio in terms of the elder statesman in Portuguese, yeah, soccer, right? The player that is universally respected, looked up to, and just commands that respect and that glory and that success that came with it. So I think that'll be a good thing for Benfica, and I think it's good for the Portuguese league as a whole. And again, I'm a huge fan of Rui Costa. I think he was fantastic back when he played in Italy even. And I mean, of course, who can forget 2004, that unbelievable unbelievable moment. Still one of the highlights, especially with the late Jorge Pedestrelo, with the play-by-play call of that goal. It still gives me chills to this day. So I think it's a wonderful thing for Benfica to have Rui Costa on board.
Yeah, I agree.
So, guys, we're running out of time here. Final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Morty, what's your final thought?
Man, it was honestly, since we last talked, a lot has happened. But, you know, outside of Benfica's, you know, game today, even though there was a 4-0 loss, there was still a lot to be. I'm really proud of Portuguese soccer this week, man. Yes. From Sporting's performance, the Port's performance, and even Benfica's performance against Bayern. Like I said, we didn't park the bus against Bayern. We went toe-to-toe. And we played a great game, and it's just honestly a really good moment for Portuguese soccer as a whole right now. I think it is really earning. We're earning that fifth spot in the UEFA rankings, because I think anybody watching Sporting, Porto, or Benfica right now is very impressed with how Portuguese soccer.
Then Benfica works. Needs to pull up their pants and get a win too. Christian, final thoughts?
Yeah, touching base on what Mitch said, I agree. You know, Portuguese soccer is growing. Our prestige is growing. And also, I also do like that, you know, we're not parking the bus. We're going attack. Ruben Amorim, after that Ajax game, he said that. He's like, no, I'm not going to be that team that parks the bus and tries to play for results. We're going to go attack. We're not going to switch our identity for nobody. And I like that. And you know what? As much as we like to bust balls about our, you know, Port Benfica Sporting, it is good for the league. It is good for the league that money trickles in. No, helps the whole league as a whole, and it helps. Ironically, it helps Benfica, Porto, and Sporting the better they do. Yeah. Like Benfica wouldn't even be in the Champions League if it wasn't for Porto's, you know, run, or you know, the European, yeah, status. Yeah, so it's good. It's good for all.
Absolutely.
My final thought, congrats to Rui Costa on becoming president of Benfica. I think it's a fantastic moment. Give Jota a chance with the Portuguese national team. Maybe not in this next call-up, but once we qualify for the World Cup, and we will qualify for the World Cup, bring him up. Let's see what he can do, because who knows? Maybe he'll be like Otavio, and he'll surprise both of you, and he'll end up being a really good call-up. And, of course, finally, Fernando Sanch, a great manager. I just got to throw that in there. November 4th, they're going to name the squad, and you better believe that we'll have a lot to talk about when they talk about when they name their squad. And we have so much more to talk about, of course, as the league and European competition continues. So Mitch, Christian, I'm Kevin. Thanks for tuning in to the Tuga, the Everything Portuguese Soccer Podcast.